It always seems every time I come back here to Faith Bible Church, I'm only here for a few weeks and then I'm off to somewhere else. Can't remember last time I spent, well, I guess I can remember last time I spent a full summer here. Would have been 4 years ago, probably, about now. It's crazy every time I say I come, just go around to the next place. Now I'm here for 1-2 weeks, and then this Thursday I'll be heading off to seminary, continuing on, following what the Lord has for me next in my life. And it's just exciting to see how the Lord just continues to guide and direct me. And it's just a blessing to be here. And as Pastor said, he came up to me yesterday and he said, if you can swing it, go ahead. I can tell you for sure, I'm not going to be able to swing it. It's going to have to be the Lord here speaking through me. And so I trust the Lord will speak to you through this message and that it will be a blessing to you, even as it was to me. And I would just say thank you all for your prayers as I was preparing this message 2 weeks ago. It was just amazing to see the Lord just orchestrate through this and then just being a blessing there in South Carolina, Greenville Fellowship Baptist Church, Pastor Party. So if you have your Bibles, y'all can go ahead and turn to 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and this afternoon we will be looking in verse 4. 1 John 4:4. I've entitled my message here this morning, It's Time to Flip the Switch. It's time to flip the switch. That title will become more sense here in a little bit. But if you're in 1 John 4:4, I'm going to go ahead and read that here and go ahead and follow along with me. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. A couple of years ago, it would have been a few years ago, about probably 6-7 years ago, I was working for my boss doing landscaping. At this time, it was the winter time, so we were removing snow out of the driveways. We were shoveling snow. I was old enough to be driving the tractors and plowing off the snow off the driveway, so I had a shovel, and it came to the end of the day of working there, shoveling all the snow, and my boss is like, hey, Andrew, I want you to take these Amish guys. He had some Amish help with them. I want you to go ahead and take these Amish guys, and I want you to go drive them back home and drop them off. They can tell you where they live. They just live right down the street a little ways. And so I'm like, okay. So we all pile in the truck. I hop in the driver's seat, start up the truck. We start heading on down the road. And my brother, he's following behind me. I forget if he's in the car or truck, whatever, but I just remember he was behind me. And so we're driving down the road. And then all of a sudden, the truck starts slowing down. And I'm like, why is the truck slowing down? So I give it a little more gas, and the gas pedal doesn't seem to be working. And so I push a little harder, and no matter how hard I push the gas pedal, it won't keep moving. And so I'm like, okay, something's wrong with the truck. So I pull off to the side of the road, and I'm like, okay, so there's something wrong with the truck. It must be inside the engine. So I pop the hood to the engine, look inside the engine. Okay, there's got to be something wrong in here. No smoke, so I know I'm good. Look around, can't see anything. There's nothing wrong with the engine, as far as I can see. And so my brother comes up to me, and I'm like, hey, David, go back to our boss and tell him to come here because there's something wrong with the truck. I can't figure out what's wrong. So he drives back, gets our boss, comes back, and our boss walks up to me. He's like, well, maybe you ran out of gas. Did you try switching the gas tanks? I'm like, switching gas tanks? He's like, yeah, this truck has two gas tanks. It's got a front gas tank and then the rear gas tank. This was an older truck, I don't know, maybe in the 80s, 90s, somewhere in there. And so it had a front gas tank and rear gas tank. He says, yeah, there's a switch right here inside the door. You just flip that switch. It says front and rear. All you do is flip it, and then you start it, and it'll start right up. You might have to start it a couple times, but it'll start right up. So I do that, go ahead and flip the switch, start it, crank it for a little while, and sure enough, it fires right on up. And about that time, I'm, of course, feeling kind of dumb for running out of gas, not obviously thinking that I ran out of gas. And so many times, this is the very same way in our Christian lives. We go along in our Christian life. We go to work. We do our devotions. We go throughout the day, and perhaps a trial comes our way. Perhaps there's some trial, whatever it may be, and it feels like you're out of gas. You're stuck. You're stuck in a rut. You're pulled over alongside the road, and you can't get anywhere. And no matter how hard you try, you just keep failing. And yet, we don't recognize that we have the power of God with us right there, just like I was. Alongside the road, I had the gas. Did I know I had the gas? No, I didn't know I had the gas. It wasn't until I realized it. It wasn't until I had to flip the switch. Once I flipped the switch, I realized, okay, yes, I had that power. And then I accessed that power, and then that's when I saw victory. That's when I could go drive those Amish guys back home. Same way with us in our Christian lives. So I like to dig in here a little bit further. In 1 John 4:4, it says, "Ye are of God, little children." The first point here this afternoon is we belong to God. We see that God, He is our Father. Romans 8:15-17 says, "For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God, and of children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ." And Psalms 89:26 also says, "He shall cry unto me, Thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation." You know, not only is God our Father, but we can even go more specific. God is a Father who protects us. And while I was studying this out, God is our Father who protects us, the passage that first came to my mind was Psalms 18. So go ahead and turn to Psalms 18. This passage here talks about how God is he's our rock, He's our fortress. Psalms 18, and I'll just read the first couple of verses here. It says, "I will love Thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust. My buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from mine enemies. The sorrows of death compassed me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. The sorrows of hell compassed me about. The snares of death prevented me. In my distress I called upon the Lord, and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears." So here we see that God is our rock. God is the one who we can run to when we have these difficult times come into our lives. God is the one who protects us from harm. Not only is God one who protects us, but God is a Father who provides for each and every single one of our needs. Luke 11:9-13 says, "And I say unto you, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh, receiveth, and he that seeketh, findeth. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give for a fish, give him a serpent? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him?" Now, there's many fathers here in the congregation here this afternoon, and I'm sure you know what you can connect with this passage here, how that you want what is best for your children. You want to give the best thing to your children, whatever they want. Of course, you want to keep them away from harm. You don't want them getting too close to the stove or too close to the fire or too close to the road when they're playing, but you want what is best for them. And yet God, who is a perfect Father, who loves us much more than we could ever imagine, gives us what is best. He provides each and every single one of our needs. Why would we ever have to worry when God is right there, wanting to provide for each and every single one of our needs? All we need to do is ask Him. This reminds me of a couple of years ago. Some of you may remember this story. My brother and I were traveling back to college on Thanksgiving break. We were traveling with Stephen Mawson, one of our friends from college. And we were traveling back for Thanksgiving break, and we're traveling down the highway here in Pennsylvania, about, I think it was about 3 hours away, near Clearfield. And it was sleeting, it was freezing rain, and we come over this hill, and there's a whole bunch of traffic in front of us. And so as my brother's coming down the hill, he starts tapping on the brakes, and the brakes don't work. The brakes were working, but it was because of the black ice that was on the road. We hit black ice, and we ended up hitting the truck in front of us, going at a high speed, and we ended up totaling our vehicle. I think his truck ended up being totaled. I forget what exactly happened there with his truck. But we were there straight alongside the road. There I was, blood gushing from my nose, and we didn't have a vehicle. We were there. The ambulance came. They wanted to take me to the emergency room. The one trucker there ended up letting him sit inside his truck there for a while. And we were stuck. We didn't know anyone that was near. But it was by God providing for our needs that just so happened that Pastor Madrid was not too far away. And he was able to come and pick us up and bring us here back home. And so we were able to come back home. I was in perfectly good health. They thought my nose was broken, but it wasn't broken. And so now we don't have a car, and now we need a way to be able to get out to college. Well, there again, God provided that need and provided us with airplane tickets with going out to college. And so the next day, we go to the airport in Baltimore. We go to the airplane, we hop on the airplane, and before the airplane starts going down the taxiway, the pilot says, you're going to have to wait for a couple minutes. I'm just waiting for permission to take off because there's a snowstorm in Chicago. And so I'm just waiting for permission. Once we get clear to take off, we can take off. And so we wait 5-10 minutes. And then the pilot comes again over the intercom and says, all right, we're going to have to ask you all to hop off the airplane and wait inside the hangar. There's been some delay. So we end up going inside the airport waiting. Wait for about half an hour, and eventually the flight gets canceled. So now we're no longer stuck alongside the highway. We're not stuck at home. Now we're stuck in an airport in Baltimore with no one we know nearby. And so we're trying to figure out, okay, how are we going to do it? We try to figure out, okay, when's the next airplane to Chicago? Because we need to get a school. School's going to be starting here pretty soon. And they said, okay, the next one's early in the morning the next day. Say, okay, well, still like 12 hours till then. So we ended up getting our friend had connections, his sister had connections with someone there in Baltimore who ended up getting us a free hotel there not too far away from the airport. They said, you can stay here for free as long as you don't break anything. And so that sounded like a great deal to us. So we ended up taking a free shuttle there to the hotel, ended up staying there for free. Get the free shuttle back to the airport, hop on the airplane, ended up taking off, and seemed like everything's going well. Well, while we were in the airplane flying to Chicago, I checked the flight status from Chicago to Milwaukee, and that flight ended up getting canceled. So now I was like, oh no, now we're going to be stuck in Chicago. And so we're almost at Chicago, and the pilot says, they're still clearing the runways of snow. Once they clear the runways, we'll land. So we just ended up making circles around the top of Chicago for about half hour until the pilot says, okay, now we're low on fuel, so now we're going to fly to Madison, Wisconsin. And I'm like, oh, man. So I check my map, and it just so happened that Madison, Wisconsin is closer than Chicago. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it'd be better if we just hop off right here instead of Chicago, because someone will have to end up driving from Milwaukee the whole way down to Chicago, which is like 2 hours, whereas they could just drive to Madison, which is only like an hour, hour and a half, something like that. And so that's what we ended up doing. Somebody ended up picking us up. And it was just so neat to see the whole entire way, from the car accident to the flights, from the airport, the whole entire way thin. I didn't have anything to do with it all. I couldn't make the pilot land in Milwaukee. I couldn't make him do whatever. It was just all God. God was just providing all our needs, each and every single step of the way. A couple of weeks ago, we had a science school lesson, and we were looking at in Philippians, and we were going through the life of Timotheus. There in Philippians 2:19-22, it says, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I may also be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who would naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things of which are Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him, that as the Son with the Father, he has served with me in the gospel." You know, many times we're trying to search for our own needs. What satisfies us? What's going to satisfy this need? And many times we don't end up seeking Jesus. We ended up seeking social media, videos, or friendships, or some other emotional needs. Maybe it's a spiritual need, maybe it's a physical need. And we ended up going to those things. Whereas we see here with Timotheus, it says, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." We see here Timotheus as a man of God, seeking the things which are Jesus Christ, not going after the things of the world, but rather he was seeking the things of Jesus Christ. So how about you? What are you seeking to meet your needs, to quench that thirst? You can search for the things of the world, but all those things will only last for a little while. It could also be a good thing, perhaps, that you're seeking, but is it Jesus Christ? For example, I was this past month or two, I was trying to determine what's the Lord's will for my life after my internship there in South Carolina. Is it to go to seminary? Is it to come back here to home, work, help out in ministry? What is it? What is it exactly? And you know, is it a bad thing to search and to know the will of God? No. It's a good thing to know what the will of God is, isn't it? But when we make searching the will of God a higher priority than searching Jesus Christ, then we've totally missed the point. You see, when we search Jesus Christ, then that's when we find the will of God. And God, he's ready to meet each and every single one of our needs. He's ready to show us that way. He's ready to guide you, to direct you. But we must seek Jesus Christ. So not only is God a Father who meets our needs, but God is a Father of love. 1 Peter 5:7, "Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you." And then we all know the verse, John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And you know, many times we forget the powerfulness of this verse. We know this verse. Many times you say, okay, yeah, God loves me. But no, God truly does love us. And I first experienced God's love when I was 7 years old. It was here at this church, and Dr. Jim came and with his wife, and we had revival meetings, and we had the kids' Bible study in the back, children's church. And I went back there, and Mrs. Van Gelderen right there showed me how about God's love, how that he came down to earth, died for me, loved me so much, gave his life for me. And right there, I decided to put all my dependence upon Jesus Christ alone for salvation. And I don't know, maybe there's someone here this afternoon that maybe you haven't experienced God's love. You haven't put your faith and dependence on Christ alone as your Savior. Well, God right now, he's offering his free gift of salvation. He's offering his love to you. You can know him as a Father. Father of love. So not only do we belong to God, but we also, second point here this afternoon, we have the victory. First of all, we see how that we have the victory over sin. God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Then 1 John 5:4, just one page over from our passage here, says, whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. You know, many times in our lives, even I was saying earlier, it seems like sin has this grip on us that we can't overcome sin. And the truth is, we can't, but God can. And as children of God, we have access to that power. Just like I was stuck alongside the road, but we have access to the power. We have that tank of gas, as you can say. All we have to do is flip the switch and access the power, and we can have victory over sin. Not only do we have victory over sin, but we also have victory over the devil. And Satan is not our ruler. 1 Corinthians 15:54. Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? Satan is no longer our master. We don't no longer serve him. We now serve Jesus Christ. It's kind of like saying if you work for a job, let's say you work right over here at McDonald's or Burger King, and you're over there, it's such a terrible job, you have terrible coworkers, a terrible boss, everything's going terrible, all you're doing all day is just flipping burgers and handing out milkshakes and all that stuff. And then let's say the manager of Chick-fil-A comes up to you and says, hey, I want you to come work for me for $20 an hour. Whereas you're getting paid minimum wage over there at McDonald's. Except this is far better. You have all these benefits, and it's so much better. You say, sure. And so you go and start working for him. And later on, let's say a week or two later, your old boss, the one from McDonald's, comes up to you and says, hey, you're working for me. Come over here and start working for me. It would be kind of stupid for you to go over and start working for the manager at McDonald's, wouldn't it? There would be no way in the world that you would ever go back and start working for him. Why? Because it's terrible. You would no longer want to go back to that where you have even far better. And this illustration doesn't even come close to what God is to us. So where are you struggling to see victory in your life this week? So not only do we have victory over sin, but the last and final point here this afternoon is that we have a mighty God. Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Why? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. First of all, we see how that God has overcome the world. Colossians 2:15 says, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. And then John 16:33, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And not only has he overcome the world, but God has also overcome our enemies. God is greater than our enemies. Go ahead and turn your Bibles real quick to 2 Chronicles chapter 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 14. Here we see the story of King Asa. King Asa was a king of the southern kingdom there in Israel when Israel was split in two. There was a northern kingdom, which was known as Israel, and there was a southern kingdom, which was known as Judah. So this is where Asa is. He's a king of the southern kingdom there. And let's go ahead and look in verse 9. 2 Chronicles chapter 14 and in verse 9. And there came out against them Zerah the Ethiopian with an host of 1,000,000 and 300 chariots and came up and came unto Maresha. Then Asa went out against him, and they set the battle in array in the valley of Zephathah at Maresha. And Asa cried unto the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing with thee to help, whether with many or with them that have no power. Help us, O Lord, our God, for we rest on thee, and in thy name we go against this multitude. O Lord, thou art our God. Let no man prevail against thee. So the Lord smote the Ethiopians before Asa and before Judah, and the Ethiopians fled. So here we see Asa. He has this great enemy in front of him. He has this great trial that he has to face. And he has one of two decisions he can make. He can either put his strength in the Lord. He can, as you can say, flip that switch. He can access God's power and see victory. Or he can try in his own strength. And here we see that he cries unto the Lord his God. And he asks for help. And the Lord gives him the victory. Go ahead and turn just one page over to 2 Chronicles chapter 16. Here we see King Asa again and comes to another trial in his life, a greater enemy. Look at verse 7, 2 Chronicles 16, 7. And at that time, Hanani, the seer, came unto Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, Because thou hast relied on the king of Syria, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubims a huge host, with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet, because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hands. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, to show himself strong in the behalf of them whose heart is perfect toward him. Herein thou hast done foolishly. Therefore, from henceforth, thou shalt have wars. Unfortunately, here we see King Asa comes to another trial in his life. And instead of accessing God's power, he sees this and he sees this as an opportunity where he can, this is something that he can take matters into his own hands. This is something he's thinking, you know what, I can take care of this. I don't need the Lord's help. And he goes and he tries to do it. And we see here that he is then defeated. That he has, as Hanani, the prophet, has told him that he has done foolishly. And you know, many times we have trials in our life. How are we going to respond to those trials? Are we going to access God's power? Are we going to flip that switch? Or are we going to try in our own strength? You know, I could have been there alongside the road with the truck right there. I could have tried turning on and off the radio, tried pushing it, tried jumping it, doing all sorts of stuff. But nothing's going to work. No matter how hard I try, nothing's going to work. So what are some great enemies that you have in your life? Maybe it's the way you use your time. Maybe you're afraid about what the future may hold. Maybe for those of you younger kids, even us as adults, maybe it's about honoring your parents and obeying your parents. Not only do you see that God is greater than our enemies, but God is also greater than our circumstances. We see here Daniel's friends in the fiery furnace. In Daniel chapter 3, we see, you all know the story of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They're faced with this decision that they have to make. They either have to bow down to the idol, or they can refuse and obey God. And they make a decision. Is it an easy decision to not bow down and to obey God? No. There's a lot of peer pressure around. Everybody else is bowing down. They can just easily just bow down. But no, they decide, you know what? This isn't easy, but we'd rather obey God. And so they decide to obey God. And so the king then goes and takes them and throws them into the fiery furnace. And right here we see in Daniel 3, it says, And then Nebuchadnezzar, the king, was astonished, and rose up in haste, and spake, and said unto his counselors, Did not we cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? They answered and said unto the king, True, O king. He answered and said, Lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like the Son of God. You know, many times in our trials, it seems like that God is not with us. But He is with us there each and every single step of the way, even as God was here with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And God will deliver us through each and every single circumstance. Whether it's a small circumstance, you think you can take it on your own, or whether it's a big one, seek the Lord, because God is greater than your circumstances. Perhaps you're facing some pressures in your life. Maybe some financial situation is coming up that you're facing. Maybe there are some family situations that you have. Maybe you're just having a bad day at work. Whatever it may be, God is greater than your circumstance. So here we see 1 John 4:4, "Ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world." And so there I was, alongside the road. I had a decision I had to make. I could either flip the switch and obey my boss, trust him, or I could just keep trying pushing that truck. Maybe I could just push the truck the rest of the way. But that'd be so foolish, to try my own strength. So how about you? Are you living a defeated Christian life? You feel like you're getting nowhere? You feel like you're stuck in a rut alongside the road? What are you going to do? There's this one song. Go ahead and pull out your hymnals to number 488. 488. The words of this song, I think, fit very well. Oh, my bad. It's not 488. 448. 448. Day by day. We know this song so very well, and many times when we sing it, we just go ahead and sing it. But I'd like for you to pay attention to the words of this song as I read it. Day by day, and with each passing moment, strength I find to meet my trials here. Trusting in my Father's wise bestowment, I've no cause for worry or for fear. He whose heart is kind beyond all measure gives unto each day what he deems best. Lovingly, it's part of pain and pleasure, mingling toil with peace and rest. Every day, the Lord himself is near me, with a special mercy for each hour. All my cares he fain would bear and cheer me, he whose name is Counselor and Power. The protection of his child and treasure is a charge that on himself he laid. As thy days, thy strength shall be in measure. This the pledge to me he made. Help me then in every tribulation, so to trust thy promises, O Lord, that I lose not faith's sweet consolation offered me within thy holy word. Help me, Lord, when toil and trouble meeting, e'er to take as from a father's hand, one by one, the days, the moments fleeting, till I reach the promised land. So here we see how that we belong to God. We have the victory, and we also have a mighty God. No matter how hard you try, you can't see victory on your own strength. It is through God's strength that we can see the victory. So how are you going to respond when things don't go your way? Or when temptations come along? You can't have victory by trying on your own strength and power. You must totally rely on Christ alone, who has already won the victory. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Let's pray. Father, I just do thank you for this passage. I thank you that we do belong to you. I thank you that you are our Father. You are a Father who loves us, who protects us, who provides for each and every single one of our needs. Lord, I thank you that we have the victory. Lord, the victory is already won. You have already won the victory. All we have to do is access that victory. Would we this week, whenever that trial, that tribulation comes along, no matter how small or great, would we go to you, Lord? Would we not seek anything else? But would we seek you? I thank you again, and I just do pray that you would just bless the remainder of the day. In your name I pray. Amen.